Welcome to The Voice of Business, a podcast series from the CBI. I'm David Taylor, an editor and partner at Tortoise. We're focusing in these podcasts on the big decisions that people in business are having to make in this pandemic. No matter how big your business, the challenges of staying connected and staying healthy are great. This week's guest is Sabi Gill, who is Managing Director, UK and Ireland, for Sage UK, which is one of only two tech companies in the FTSE 100, with 3,000 staff in the UK and a head office in Newcastle. I think it would be a good place to start, Sabi, if you could just tell people something about the business and how they might know your work.
Yeah, no, pleasure, and good morning, David, and thank you for the opportunity to be involved in this podcast. So Sage is one of two FTSE-listed technology companies. Our vision is really to become a great SaaS company for customers and colleagues alike who are able to transform the way that people think and work so their organizations can thrive. And there's some important aspects there. It's really ensuring that we're in this transformation about the way that they think about work and the way they go about acting and conducting business. And it's all about ensuring that they thrive, right? And everybody has different definitions of thrive. But for us, it's really about how do we make them grow bigger than they are today and give them all the tools, resources and support. Now, the great thing about working here at Sage is we've got a history. It was started by two university graduates in a pub in Newcastle, where else, that now reaches millions of customers across 23 countries globally. And we started as a small business like everybody else. So we understand the slings and arrows that business owners face today. You know, the desire and passion for us is really to support SMEs like we used to be and empower those owners in what drives us. And it still does today. We've got over 3,000 colleagues across UK, with around half of those based in our office in the Northeast, which is our spiritual home. And here's one fact that not many people know. In the UK, we pay 51% of people that work within the private sector through our software. And globally, $4.2 trillion annually moves through Sage software. So for us, you know, being that tech company producing accounting software, that's what people traditionally know us for. But today, it's much more than that. Not only is it accounting and finance, it's people and payroll, and for small and medium businesses. And we work with many business membership organizations and support groups, such as the CBI, Tech UK, the FSB, to help lobby the government in a range of issues that impact businesses and in particular, you know, the Northeast.
Yes, I mean, again, my spiritual home as well, even though I'm talking to you from North London. I was, you know, born and bred on Tyneside. And so I know that, you know, Sage has a great tradition, really. I mean, it's nearly 40 years old, which is incredibly mature for a tech company. And again, for people who have visited the Northeast, they will see that gleaming Sage Arts Centre on the Gateshead Bank at the Tyne, which carries your name as well. You clearly have a great presence in the Northeast. And again, just to sort of run through some of those numbers, I mean, it's more than half of people who work for private companies in the UK get their pay because of software that comes from you. But I want to think about also your role in this moment, because clearly a lot of people, I think it's about 8 million, are currently getting at least part of their salary through the job retention scheme, furlough as we know it. How did you have to deal with that?
Yeah, look, it's interesting stats, right? I think the number now is nearer to 8.7, 8.8 million, close to, I think it's more than 850,000 companies. You know, the interesting piece for me with those numbers is it's, I think it's close to 24 to 25% of the entire UK working population is now furloughed. And then if you add on top of that another 8 or 9% of people who are on universal credit, that's a large number of individuals to be out of work. And, you know, you're absolutely right. We, you know, we played a very strong part and we were supporting HMRC when it came to designing the technical standards and the paper required around the job retention scheme. We were one of many providers, but you know, we were actively involved from the outset of ensuring that everything that was required from a JRS perspective, so everything that was required from a portal, ensuring that the needs of UK businesses and making it as easy as possible to provide a solution that supported all of the very complex rules and regs, you know, making sure that, you know, as much as you can do, you're looking at everything to do with fraud, making sure that also customers and those small businesses are not only equipped with a product that allows them to be able to interface with HMRC as quickly as possible, but it's also ensuring that they have a solution that they understand the mechanics behind. So, you know, we had one particular document that we had created that detailed all of the different aspects around JRS. And we had over 250,000 hits on that document within the first couple of weeks of when we produced it. We also had some online webinars that we had done. We had 2,500 people attend one of our webinars just to explain what JRS was and you know, how to use the tool and some of the you know, the standards and capabilities of the product and what was really required. And we did some joint webinars as well with HMRC because of the number of you know, customers and individuals and people that we're actually supporting in the UK. So it was a very interesting time for us. But, you know, one that we take great pride in of being that voice and of small businesses in the UK.
Yes, I think, I mean, this resonates a lot for me and the company I work for too, because, you know, I mean, we're all very much in that model, 50 odd people, and you're trying to work out how you keep functioning remotely and you're trying to be the best you can be. But the challenges in the early weeks of this were extraordinary, weren't they, for all sorts of businesses. Is there anything that really sticks out in your mind of the customers that you have, of people coming to you, that gave you your sense of purpose in a way?
Yeah, look, you know, I spend a lot of time dealing with customers, and you know, we've got a really good closed loop process. And what I mean by that is every customer that we dealt with, if they weren't happy in any shape or form, either with some of the offers or what we were trying to do with them, those reports automatically instantly got escalated up through directly to me. And I used the opportunity to really reach out to customers. And, you know, we had one particular customer. A young lady up in the north who, you know, it was a family run business. Her father had just literally been diagnosed with cancer and was going through therapy and chemo and everything else. And at the same time, you know, she was having to furlough employees and had never been able to firstly understand it, but never been able to use the software, because one of the individuals that she ended up having to furlough was actually her super user, which was actually her son. So you could imagine being in that circumstances where you're furloughing your own family members. And she reached out and said, look, I really don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, our consultants and you know, team sat there for almost, you know, half a day, just literally walking her through. And she was, you know, going through various different states of emotion and everything else. But when I spoke to her, it was just as if, you know, the world had been taken off of her shoulders, because now she had a better understanding of what was going on and those sort of things. And, you know, I touched base with her and a couple of the other customers, you know, as regularly as I can, just to make sure that that they're doing okay. And this is a key initiative that we've just actually kicked off, where one of the things that we're really trying to do is try and reach out to about 250 to 300,000 customers over the next couple of months and just literally ask them, how are you doing? You know, what can we do to help support you?
You've got a pretty plugged in view of what's going on in the business landscape. What do you think we're heading towards in the autumn?
I think as much as the Chancellor had talked about trying not to create a cliff, I think there will be one. When we get to the end of August, September, and we know that the JRS system will be coming to an end, and that there are, even in August, there's going to be a requirement that people pay and make employers make some sort of formal contribution to the JRS system. And as we progress even further to October, you know, there may be further changes. But we will see a point. And the other thing that we should also remember is that if people do need to move people to a redundancy situation and remove them from their payroll, that there is consultation periods and that lasts 45 days. So it's not a case of having to wait until the very last moment. You've got to tell people well in advance of what's going on, and that constant communication and activity so that people can plan. And, you know, what I think is going to happen in autumn is that we will be in for a rude awakening. I think there will be a situation where businesses are starting to come back on track. As we know, some of the lockdown measures have been lifted, you know, the non-essential retail items opening, the car showrooms, you know, talking about pubs and beer gardens and being able to open up some of those. As these things happen, you know, the thing we shouldn't forget is, and I suppose a big nervousness is whether or not there's going to be a second spike, which the economy and the businesses just can't afford to have happen, because that really will move us into a, you know, we use the word unprecedented, but I think that's into the unknown from our perspective. And I think there will be a move from furlough to potentially a reduction in workforce. And I think businesses will be looking to reduce some of those individuals and remove them from their payroll.
So what does that mean for you as a business then?
The important thing for us is that we've already started working with HMRC on what the new, the next version of JRS would look like, what some of those changes are that they want to apply, because, you know, that's going to be the first step in ensuring that the businesses who are going to be continuing that furlough process have everything that they need. For us, it's really about supporting those businesses who are going to continue to bring staff back into their operations somehow, right? Whatever that may look like. And then the second piece for us is really ensuring that, you know, as much as we can help individuals and people out in the wider community. So we do a lot with one of our, you know, part of our, something called Sage Foundation, which is all about driving engagement through our colleague engagement through local communities, helping nonprofit organizations, helping charities, and really ensuring that anything and everything that we can do to give back into the local community plays an important part.
I don't know whether you've seen it, but we at Tortoise do something called the Responsibility 100 Index, which looks at the sustainability and development goals and the record of the FTSE 100, how they're meeting them, whether it comes to issues of inequality or climate change or generally being good citizens, I suppose. I don't know whether you knew this, but Sage is actually the best of all 100 companies when it comes to volunteering. Your staff do more volunteering in terms of days per capita than any other company in the FTSE 100.
I didn't know that, but it's great to hear, right? And it's a real passion, right? And a passion of everybody and a passion of mine. Last year, We had a 48% increase in relation to the number of days that our employees had contributed just here in UK and Ireland. And, you know, when you look at one of the most important stats, 46% of employees are happier when they get involved in these types of activities with Sage Foundation and any foundation or CSR related activity. That's the average. Here at Sage, it's 92%, so double what the average is, that people are saying that they're happier getting involved in those activities. So, you know, it's great that, you know, you've got an organisation like this that provides the ability.
Yeah, well, you're blessed, of course, with, you know, the eternal optimism of the Geordie Nation as well. So, you know, you have that underpinning you. Let's just think about your 3,000 staff. How many of them are working from home and how many of them are working on site?
So what we had, David, was as soon as the announcement was made about from the Prime Minister about doing as much as you can and work from home, we literally mobilised 3,000 employees to work from home within 48 hours. And today, every single employee is still working from home with all of the social distancing rules and everything else. It would be impossible for us to ever go back to the office with that many people. So what we've done is that we've elected to make sure that every employee has all the resources, infrastructure, technology to be able to work from home, which is what they're doing now. And then at some point in the future, when it makes sense for us, we'll then, you know, based on social distancing rules and everything else, and following the government guidelines around health and safety and those things, is then make a decision at some point to move people back into the office.
Mm. And what does that look like? Do you think, I've spoken with one truly global company that has an ambition of saying by the year 2025, we say 25% of our workforce as a maximum will be within our offices and everyone else will be working remotely. Have you done that sort of desktop exercise where you've imagined what you might look like by the end of the year, for instance?
No, we haven't, and I'm not sure if we've needed to. And the reason why is because, you know, we've got a very, very flexible culture. One of the pieces that we've always allowed people to do is work from home. So we've always had that ability to allow individuals to do it. But the majority of our people, there is an expectation that we know that people work a lot better when they are together, when they're in an office and they can, you know, really start. You know, diversity and inclusion is an important aspect, and that can only really happen when you start having individuals working together in teams and huddles and scrums and those sort of things. So there's always an expectation that, you know, people need to be in the office and at least spend 2 or 3 days of their time working together and those sort of things. So flexibility is already there for us to be able to do that. But social distancing is really probably the number one item that really stops us and inhibiting us to really get everybody back into the office.
I wonder, have you given thought to what you will do differently, what in terms of measuring the value of what you do as a business, because, and indeed you as an individual, as a leader in business, because I think there is an opportunity for change and challenge to the way we've always done things. And, you know, you could say that the wider business community was already beginning to understand that profit wasn't everything and that purpose lay in different areas. So I wonder what's changed in your outlook because of the last couple of months.
People feel a lot more open than they've ever been. I think our working knowledge and experiences with each other, our teamwork and collaboration is the best I've ever seen it, right? And we're all working remotely. I probably know more about individuals now, seeing sort of a window into their own life, right, as we're doing these videos, than I've ever done before. And I think that to me is the big takeaway, is that we're all in this together, we're all in this situation, that everybody is there to help, and that when we come together, we can achieve anything. And I think these last couple of months have really helped me believe a lot more than I ever did before.
Yes, I think community has revealed itself in all sorts of different ways.
It has indeed. And for me, I think that's the greatest opportunity that we have, right? When we go back, we've got to bottle all of the great things that we've noticed and experienced.
Well, listen, I wish you all the best, Sabi, and again, all the best to your many staff. And I hope that you keep managing to make the UK and beyond get its paycheck every couple of weeks.
Excellent. David, well, look, thanks very much for taking the time. I've really enjoyed our discussion. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.